Let's read together Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. In these first few verses of Philippians 3, we have a warning against the false teachers known as the Judaizers. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. All right, let's consider a few background notes first of all. In verse 1, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren." Now, it sounds like he's concluding his letter here, and yet we have two chapters to go. Is Paul here like a long-winded preacher who says finally and then 40 minutes later finishes his message? Do you know anybody like that? Not here. Well, the word finally here does not necessarily mean that he's drawing the letter to a close. It can mean that he's making a transition in the subject matter. Now, what is the transition? At the end of chapter 2, Paul had given the Philippian believers a few examples to follow in their Christian lives. He mentioned himself and Timothy and Epaphroditus as examples to follow in Christian service and Christian lifestyle. Now, this was particularly important in view of the problem of disunity beginning to emerge at Philippi. But now there is a transition of subject matter. Right now, he's going to deal with the Judaizers. The Judaizers were the legalistic false teachers of the day, influenced by Judaism. Judaism taught that you were to keep the Mosaic law as well as all the traditions that had been added to the law. Now, there were non-Christian Judaizers and Christian Judaizers. The non-Christian Judaizers claimed that salvation came by keeping the law and the traditions. The Christian Judaizers did not believe that you were saved by the law, but that you were sanctified by keeping the law and the traditions. That is, you were made more holy and more spiritual by keeping the law and the traditions. The Judaizers were big on keeping the Sabbath and practicing circumcision as a ritual. In verse 3, some of your translations say false circumcision in place of concision or mutilation. These are the Judaizers who said that circumcision was necessary for the believer. No, said the Apostle Paul and the Bible. That issue was settled at the first church council back in Acts chapter 15. Becoming a Christian was and is by faith in Christ alone. And becoming sanctified was and is not by the means of keeping the law and the traditions. Sanctification, like salvation, was and is 100% a work of God's grace. Now that brings us to our doctrinal points. They are both three-part doctrinal points. The first has to do with the Judaizers. The Judaizers were the legalists of Paul's day. The problem of legalism is still around today. Legalism says that you're a better Christian or a more spiritual Christian if you set up a system of rules and judge yourself and judge others by this set of rules that you've set up. Now, that is not what the Bible teaches. So for our first doctrinal point then, we will use the phrase legalistic false teachers. So doctrinal point 1A, the Bible describes legalistic false teachers as dogs. See it there in verse 2, beware of dogs. Well, the Judaizers referred to the Gentiles as dogs. Now Paul turns the tables and uses the term in reference to the false teachers. The scavenger dogs of the city were always yelping and fighting among themselves and prowling around and attacking the passersby. That's the way the legalistic false teachers of the first century were. And that's the way the legalistic false teachers are today. Always yelping, attacking believers and downgrading a Christian because they don't keep their set of rules. You can't be a spiritual Christian if you don't dress up on Sunday. You can't be a spiritual Christian if you read a different translation of the Bible than I read. On and on we could go. Do you see it? That's legalistic teaching. Legalism, understand now, is not a matter of taste or preference. Legalism is a matter of judging another believer's spirituality based on your set of standards. The Bible describes legalistic false teachers as dogs. Doctrinal point 1b. The Bible describes legalistic false teachers as evil workers. Again, verse 2. Beware of evil workers. The Judaizers of the first century worked hard to gain proselytes, but their work was evil. It took away from a Christ-centered faith. The same is true today. Legalism always appears more spiritual because the legalist outwardly keeps a bunch of rules, and they can appear spiritual. The legalistic Pharisees of Jesus' day looked pretty good outwardly, but the Lord had to denounce them because they were like whited sepulchers, right? They looked good on the outside, but full of dead bones within. The legalistic Pharisees of the Lord's day were hypocrites. They led people away from the truth. Therefore, they were evil workers. The same is true today. The Bible describes legalistic false teachers as evil workers. Doctrinal point 1c. The Bible describes legalistic false teachers as the mutilation. Again, verse 3, beware of the mutilation. This is the third beware. The word that's used here is not circumcision, which comes from a word meaning cut around. It's better translated mutilation because it comes from a word meaning cut off. Paul is likening the Judaizers here to the pagans of heathen religions who cut themselves and mutilated themselves in religious rites. Now that grace has come in Christ, circumcision practiced as a religious rite is nothing more than cutting yourself. That's Paul's point. Circumcision had a place in the Old Testament, and it has a place in medical practice today, but as a religious rite, it means nothing. The same is true of legalism today. Keeping rules cannot bring you salvation and cannot sanctify you. Sanctification is a work of grace just as much as salvation is a work of grace. Trying to sanctify yourself apart from the work of Christ in your life is like the first century Judaizers trying to sanctify themselves through circumcision. The Bible describes legalistic false teachers as the mutilation. Our second doctrinal point has to do with the true believer in contrast to the legalistic false teacher. God intends the true believer not to be a legalistic Christian, but a liberated Christian. Now, liberated Christians are not Christians who do whatever they please. Liberated Christians know how to properly use their Christian liberty. They are not bound by a bunch of legalistic restrictions. The true believers are referred to in verse 3 as the circumcision. That is the true circumcision. You see, God intended the physical circumcision of the Old Testament to be a picture of spiritual circumcision. True believers have been spiritually circumcised in Christ. That is, our flesh or sinful natures have been judged and cut off when Christ died, not only for our sins, but for our sinful natures as well. Let me read to you Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 13. In him, that is in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. You see, spiritual circumcision. By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. There it is. The sinful nature has been cut off. And verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now we are to be what we are. We have been spiritually circumcised. That's our position. Now we are to practice spiritual circumcision. That is, in a practical way, we are to cut off the flesh. Another New Testament way to say this is walk after the Spirit. Practicing spiritual circumcision is not done by legalism. Try it. You'll fail. A better measure of spiritual circumcision would be how much time do we spend in the Word each day? How much spiritual fruit is there in our lives? Now we see in verse 3, three characteristics of a liberated Christian. That is one who is spiritually circumcised. And that's where we have these three sub-points here. So doctrinal point 2A, the Bible describes liberated Christians as those who worship God in the Spirit. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. The liberated Christian then and today is not characterized by ritualism in worship. The liberated Christian does not depend on outward forms and ceremonies in worship. The liberated Christian does not need images and relics for the worship of the true God. Remember what our Lord said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4? God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. The Bible describes liberated Christians as those who worship God in the Spirit. Doctrinal point 2b, the Bible describes liberated Christians as those who rejoice in Jesus Christ. Verse 3 again, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Are you rejoicing in Christ tonight? Notice in verse 1 that we are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. Legalistic Christians do not have the joy of the Lord. They are more hung up on their set of rules that they measure others by. Liberated Christians have the joy of the Lord. The Bible describes liberated Christians as those who rejoice in the Lord. Doctrinal point 2C. The Bible describes liberated Christians as those who have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 3 once again, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Although our sinful natures have been judged at the cross, we still have the flesh or sinful nature until we're with the Lord. And the flesh or sinful nature of a believer is not holier than the flesh of an unbeliever. It is sinful flesh. And the flesh of the believer does not change into spirit. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit, John 3:6. Legalistic Christians put confidence in the flesh. Liberated Christians put no confidence in the flesh. Apart from Christ, we know that we will fail in our own strength. The Bible describes liberated Christians as those who put no confidence in the flesh. Practical application. Don't get turned off by repetition. Don't get turned off by repetition. Look at verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Paul is probably thinking of all the teachings and warnings that he's given to the Philippian believers over the years. Paul is telling them that he doesn't mind writing about these things again and warning them again. And make sure, Philippians, you understand it's a safeguard for you. So don't get turned off by repetition. Repetition is one way we remember things well. You know, sometimes we get turned off by preaching that is repetitious. But really, it's good for us because we're protected. It's good to hear sound doctrine again and again and warnings again and again. Don't get turned off by repetition.